Well, I'm just going back over this past week. The data out of the US, there wasn't a lot of it, but what there was mostly pretty strong. So, we had the weekly initial jobless claims. And these now are regularly beating market expectations. You want them to beat on the low side on this because this is people putting in claims for unemployment benefits. And the market expectation was 625,000 for the most recent week. Came in at 547,000, so well under. And another one of those lead indicators that we're going to see some surprisingly strong non-farm payroll numbers coming out of the US over the next month or two. And we had some strength running through the April reports for Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index and also the Services Purchasing Managers Index. The April Manufacturing PMI lifted on this index. It hasn't been above 60 so far in the recovery. It got above 60 for this one. So it went from 59.1 to 60.6, which is a very strong reading on this particular survey. The services sector PMI, even better. It went from 60.4. It was expected to lift to 61.7. It went to 63.1. So, getting up towards record highs for the services PMI, where spending's really starting to flow back in the United States as with their immunization program. You've got the problems, obviously, with COVID-19 in places like India, but it's fading rapidly in places like the United States. We finished the week with new home sales for the month of March. They were expected to have a big bounce, up 12%. They way exceeded that and lifted by 20.7%. So a lot of strength. We're going through the reporting season in the United States. So we've got a lot of the big tech companies coming out through the course of this week. But so far, big beats mostly of market expectations, evidence that profits are really roaring in the United States. So a lot of that strength coming through. Now, coming out this week, perhaps the focus is going to be going into the Fed. We've got the Fed meeting coming up on Thursday, and no change is expected in this. But always watching just what the expectations are from the various Fed members about interest rates going forward and what the commentary might be coming through from Jerome Powell. So far, the commentary has been along the lines that we're very much supporting what's happening running through the economy. And one way of looking at this is they have sort of tried to neutralize any inflation pressure that might be starting to build, going back away. They decided that they're going to be focusing on average inflation over the course of the cycle, which means that they're prepared to allow it to run above their 2% target for quite some time before they take any policy action. It'll just be interesting to see whether they're becoming at all concerned. Last week we had the Bank of Canada, which was one of the first of the central banks, which is just starting to pull back on this idea of interest rates staying down longer into strong recovery with evidence of inflation coming through, where they were giving the first hint that they might have to bring forward or bring back into 2022 and 2023 their views of when they might be starting to think about lifting interest rates. So the very first central bank to start to crack on the rhetoric that even though we've got booming economies and inflation's going to pick up, we're going to ignore it for quite some time. So waiting to see what comes through with the FOMC through the course of this week. Before then, we'll have evidence of house prices. Pretty dated because this is the Case-Shiller survey in the United States, so it dates back to February, but still accelerating. Going back a month ago to the January reading, we had 1.2% lift in house prices in a month and across the United States, and an acceleration in annual house prices to 11.1%. Well, they're expecting that to go further to 11.6% year-on-year change in house prices in the United States. So it's not just an income effect you're getting in the United States with all the fiscal payments and very strong employment growth. which is allowing people to spend. The wealth effect is coming through in spades. You know, you look at what's happened to the equity market in the United States over the course of the past year and house prices, and it's hardly surprising. You're getting really strong consumer confidence readings, and that comes out too just before the Fed. We've got the April Conference Board Consumer Confidence Survey, and that's expected to lift further. Going back to March, we had a huge lift from 90 to 109.7. It's expected to rally on to 112.1. And why so confident? Well, towards the end of this week, we get March readings of personal income and personal spending. Personal income, this will reflect the latest of the checks in the post from the US government. And personal income, month on month, is expected to lift 20% month on month. You know, the usual lift for personal income is around 0.6, 0.7% a month. So 20% in 1 month gives you some idea of why, you know, they feel like spending their hearts out in the United States. We'll also on Thursday get the first look at Q1 GDP out of the United States. And this is expected to rise. It's expected to rise from 4.3% annualized. They annualize their quarterly rate. And get up to around 6.5%. That won't be the peak of it by any means. That'll just be the foothill before you get Q2 in another 3 months beyond. And you'll be looking at an annualized rate then, which would be up towards 20%. So you've got some incredibly strong data which is coming from month in, month out over the course of the next few months. We'll see part of that with the Q1 GDP that comes out on Thursday this week. That same day, they'll have pending home sales, and they're expected to lift by 6% in the month as well. And later still, we'll have things like some more partial economic indicators like the April Chicago Purchasing Managers Report coming out on Friday. That one was at 66.3, one of the strongest readings we've ever seen on that survey. It's expected to hold at least mid-60s. Market thinks 65.5. If anything, it may stay around 66 mark. So a lot of strength there running through those particular areas. China last week, nothing of note other than the meeting of their central bank. The 3.85% cash rate they've got there, no change on that. Little in the way of new economic information coming out of China. This week, though, we'll get the Purchasing Managers Index, and this will be for the month of April. And it is expected to come back a bit from 51.9 to 51.7. There's a difference in the way in which the world is growing this time compared with how it grew recovering from the global financial crisis going back to 2007, 2008. Back in that global financial crisis period, China was the country which led the world out, and they led it out by having the most aggressive fiscal spending plans, largely in terms of building their cities. This time around, China's less aggressive. It's the US which is leading the world out this time. It's a very big difference. So we've got the US, which is spending 15-16% of GDP and rising in terms of fiscal stimulus. They're leading the world out this time and with very, very supportive monetary policy. So that's one of the big differences between the recovery we got post-GFC. Remembering the recovery post-GFC, you had the Europeans who all started to take fright and went into fiscal consolidation very quickly. They're showing no signs of doing that this time around. If anything, they're keeping fiscal spigots open. So this is why it's reasonable to expect a huge and protracted period of strong economic growth this time around relative to what we saw after the GFC. Moving to Australia, we had the RBA minutes, still calling much the same tune, and that is inflation's all a matter of wages. Going to wait until we see a lot of wages growth before we get to any sort of conditions where we might think about raising interest rates. The RBA is going to play that tune for quite a while, but at some point they're going to have to break on that, I think, because other data is going to take over. We had preliminary retail trade numbers coming out for March last week. The market thought we would get a lift of 1% month on month. We got a lift of 1.4% month on month. So very, very strong reading coming through there. This week in Australia, we get our CPI. Now, I suppose the point about this is that whatever it shows, the RBA is still going to largely ignore it. It does look as if it's going to be relatively firm. The market consensus forecast for the CPI is another 0.9% quarter-on-quarter read. If that's the case, it would lift the annual inflation rate to 1.4% from 0.9%. Nothing as aggressive as that on the underlying rates because we've still got some special factors running into the CPI. So the trim mean weighted median are both expected to be around 0.5% for each of them quarter on quarter. That would lift the annual change, or keep the annual change actually at 1.2% for the trim mean. And the weighted median would actually come back a touch on that to 1.3% from 1.4%. So not too much of a problem, but just watching those inflation rates, because they are getting up. There is an acceleration running through inflation, and it's doing it without too much lift in wages coming through. Thursday this week, we'll get export prices coming out and import prices going in different directions. Import prices actually falling back a bit because of the strength of the Australian dollar. So they did fall going back to Q4 last year when they were down by 1%. They'll probably fall around that again. Export prices, in contrast, driven by commodities and commodity prices, going back to Q4, they lifted by 5.5% quarter on quarter. This quarter, they could lift by more than 10% quarter on quarter. Now, that's one massive lift in our terms of trade. In other words, what our export prices buy relative to our import prices. And, of course, that will be a factor in GDP for Q1, one of the reasons why it's going to be a pretty strong read when it comes out at the beginning of April. We also get Q1 producer prices on Friday, and also we get March credit. Credit's starting to lift, so expecting to see credit lift about 0.3, 0.4% month on month. It's been running 0.2s to 0.3s, and much of that driven by housing credit starting to lift. In Europe last week, we had the ECB meeting. They're not blinking. They're keeping monetary policy extremely easy. So no change to that minus 0.5% rate they have on deposits at the ECB. We also had April consumer confidence came out. It was a bit better than expected, which for Europe means it wasn't quite, didn't have quite as big a negative as it was before. It was minus 10.8 going back to March, came back to minus 8.1. So slight improvement there. But we had the manufacturing and services PMI, and these have both gone, manufacturing PMI was already well above 50. It was at 62.5 going back to March, very strong reading. It's lifted further again to 63.3. It's one of the consistent stories around the world that manufacturing is in hyperboom at the moment in the countries which are good at manufacturing. It's what's really been driven by the consumer spending, where consumers have been locked into their own countries, and so they've been spending on all sorts of bits and pieces, manufacturers in particular. And that's why we're seeing such strength running through these manufacturing-style indicators. The services sector PMI, though, for Europe, which had been lagging, at one point that gone down to a low of 18 going back about 7 months ago. Going back to March, it was up at 49.6, so just on the border of the expansion-contraction line at 50. They didn't think it was going to make it, but it did. It went to 50.3 for the most recent reading. So some indications that the lead indicators are starting to shift higher for Europe as well. We'll see the European inflation rate for the month of April and also the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate is holding pretty steady, around 8.3% for Europe. The CPI, though, like inflation rates everywhere, is actually starting to lift, and we're looking at going from 1.3% to 1.6%. So it's still a story of, for the time being, the market does fret about those areas of the world too, where obviously COVID is a particular problem. One of the paradoxes at the moment is that just as we've got these very, very strong economic readings and improving COVID numbers in some of the developed countries that were causing us most angst relating to COVID not so long back. COVID in our part of the world, in India and just to the north of us, in places like PNG and even in Japan, really starting to motor again. So we've got some you know, obviously, COVID is, infection rate is running at record highs at the moment around the world, but it's very much concentrated in certain parts. But not being a particular concern as far as financial markets are concerned, where we've got all this evidence, still a very strong economic growth coming through in many of these larger developed countries.